Be'ezer Hashem Yisboch, we begin Hilchas Eva, the laws of mourning, the fourth out of the five halachas in the Sefer Shoftim, in the book of Judges, which, as the Rambam explains, yesh b'chol and arba mitzvos. In these halachas, there's four commandments. Achas mitzvah, say one positive commandment. V'shalosh mitzvah, let's say, and there are three negative prohibitions. V'zeh prot, and these are the specifics. Aleph, number one. L'sabal al kreivim, to mourn over relatives. V'afal koin, even the koin, is mistame, he becomes tame, he makes himself ritually impure. U'misabal, and he mourns al kreivim on the relatives, even though he's not labim tame to other people. V'eino the misabal al rugibes. Now, however, there's no laws of mourning of avelas on those who are executed by the courts. And says the Rama, ulafizen, therefore, kalalti halachas elu b'sei b'zeh. That's why I put in these halachas of mourning. What does that have to do with Sefer Shoftim, book of Judges? In the Sefer Shoftim is because it talks about those that are judged by the judges. Shehen me'in kvura b'yamisa, which this is like from the halacha of burial on the day of death. Shemitzah say what's a positive commandment, which is mentioned by those who are executed by the courts. Like it says in Devarim, ki kovet tikperen b'yamahu, which actually that's the source that we'll learn now in general. Therefore, that's where the halachas avelas come into the laws of Sefer Shoftim. Base number two, shlei tamei kohen gadol akreivim, but that the high priest should not make himself impure to his relatives. Gimel number three, shlei kondes ames ba'oil, he should not go into the oil, into the room with the dead person. Dal number four, shlei tamei kohen hedut l'nefesh adam, that a regular kohen should not make himself tamei to any regular person, el akreivim b'vod, only to his relatives. Urei mitzvahs elu, an explanation of these four mitzvahs of the Parakim elu are in these chapters, where there are 14 chapters. First two Parakim discuss the obligation of avelus of mourning. Perek Gimel discusses regarding the tum of a kohen. Perek Dal Tazayin discusses the burial and the days of mourning. Perek Ches and Tes discuss the mitzvah of kriya, of tearing one's garment. Yud and Yudalf discuss halachas as it applies to Shabbos and the Yom Tevim. Yud Bezin and Gimel discuss regarding the laws of the eulogy and of comforting of the mourners. And the 14th Perek discusses the kindness and the honor of burial and of the dead person. And with that, we begin Perek Rishon, the first chapter, which discusses the obligation of mourning as Ramagin's halacha of regarding the mitzvah. Mitzvah says there's a positive commandment, lest abel al kreivim, to mourn over one's relatives. Shlomo says in the pasuk in Yikra that Aaron HaKohen says, "V'chalti chadas hayem, I'm going to eat the sin offering today. Hayita bein Hashem, is going to be good in the eyes of Hashem. How could I eat the kachem in the day when I am mourning?" That Aaron was saying over the death of his sons. You see that there's an obligation at least on the first day of mourning, as the Rambam says, "Ve'in avelus minatari." And there's no biblical halacha of mourning. Ela b'yom rishon b'vad, only the first day of the shehu yom hamisa b'yom kippur. The first day is the day of the death and the day of the burial. Aval shar hashaviyam, what we know as the Shiva, the other remaining 7 days, in the din Torah is not a biblical law. Now, Av Bishon and Matar, though it says in the Torah, in Bereishis, v'yasla aval evil shavas yom, that he made for his father a mourning of 7 days. Yes, this that Yosef made for Yaakov a mourning of 7 days, nitna Torah b'nischad shahalacha. The Torah was ultimately given later on by Har Sinai, and the halacha was renewed. We don't learn that from things that were said and done before Matar. Now, but we do have a Shiva. Moshe Rabbeinu tikkunam liYisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu instituted with the Jewish people. It's not biblical, but he instituted Shivas Yemei Avelus, the 7 days of mourning, but Shivas Yemei Mishnah, the 7 days of rejoicing, which is what we call the Sheva Brachas by a chasna, by a marriage. Halacha Beis, regarding the beginning of the mourning. Me'imus Yischayv Odin be'evil, not Oinen. This halacha beninus from the moment of death. When does the obligation of Avelus, of mourning, start? That's Mishi Sosim Hagoyel. When the coffin, when the grave is closed. That's when it starts. Of a kozmach l'nikba mesba, as long as the dead is not buried yet, in asa b'davim and advarim, sha'ovel asa b'hem. It's not forbidden any one of the things that a mourner is forbidden in them. And in neitam zen, and because of this, that the reason was that rachat David v'sach, David HaMelech went and bathed himself and anointed himself k'shemesa yelad, when his child that was born to him from the wife of Uriah, that he died. He did these things, Terem Sheikav, before he was buried, because again, the laws of Avelus did not yet take effect in him until the child was buried. Halacha Gimel. Harugi Malchus. Those who are executed by the government, She'im Anicha Naisim Leikavir, that the government doesn't let them to be buried. So Me'im Esam Eschin Les Abdalim. So from when does it start, the halachas of mourning, if you tell me it's only when the burial, but they don't let burial. So when does it start, Velis B'Shiva or Shleishim, to start counting the Shiva, the 7 days, and the 30 days, the Shleishim, which these are different days and amounts of mourning as they apply to different relatives, is Mishis Yoshu Lishu Lamelcha Lekavim. It's when people give up hope from asking the king to allow them to bury, then we don't wait for burial anymore. And that's Avabishalon Yisyaoshu Malignan Vaisim, even though they didn't give up hope of trying to steal away the bodies from the government, but ultimately, then they really gave up, and therefore, that's when the mourning starts. Halacha Dal, Misha Tava Benar, someone drowned in the river, or Misha Chalatu Chayra, or a wild animal ate him up. So that's Mishnah Nesiyahu Shalabakash, when they give up hope of looking for the body. Again, that's this equivalent of the burial and that's like their closure, and that's when the avela starts. Now, mitzu'u evar mavam, let's say they find him limb by limb, emayim loy, they don't count yet, until they find his head and majority of his body. Oh, you search malakish. Or again, they give up already the hope of the search. Then either one of those will create the avelis. Halachay, misha darkam l'shleich hames l'medina acheres l'kavri. Those that they had a custom that they would send the dead body to another country to bury him, which oftentimes people go to Eretz Yisrael. Bein yod masayikav, and they don't know when the burial is going to be. So the moment they turn their face away from escorting the body, because at some point they're not taking the whole journey to that other country, and the moment they turn away, that's when they start counting the 7 days and the 30 days, and they start the laws of avelis of mourning. The laws of avelis as applies to stillborns and young children. Hanafalim, a stillborn, which is born not alive, we don't mourn over them. And any by humans, in contrast to animals, that if the child does not survive a period of 30 days, that's considered as a stillborn, and no laws of avails. And even if the child dies on the 30th day, doesn't make it to 31, we don't mourn over him, that has the equivalent of a stillborn. Now, but if you know definitively that the child is born what's called full term, definitively a complete 9 months, meaning that she did not have intimacy with her husband the entire time of the pregnancy, and it's been a full 9 months from the last time she had intimacy until she gave birth, then even if the child dies on the day that he's born, then we are going to mourn, that's considered as a full-fledged human to have the laws of avelis. Halacha chas. Now, ben tish chadashim, but if let's say even if it's a full 9 months, but shenoy lemeis, a child was born dead, or aven shemayna, or an 8 month, where in prior times, being born in the 8th month, was considered an inferiority of the vitality of the child. So ben shemayna was 8 months, shemes, that the child died, even after 30 days. Or if the baby came out cut up, or crushed. Then even if it was born full term after 9 months, again, these are all going to be considered as categories of stillborn. You don't mourn over them. You're not busy with them. You don't have to stop the work to go ahead and be busy with their burial. Halacha tes, mourning as it applies to those that are judged to be executed by the Jewish law, and those that are wicked. Kol harugei malchus, all those that are killed by the government, because they rebelled against the king. Ava b'shenergu b'din ha-melech, although they were executed with the laws and the rights of the and the purview of the king. Va'toyre nasan l'rishos l'hargam, and the Torah actually gives permission to the king to execute the rebellious ones. Still, there is a law of mourning over these people, and we don't hold back from them regarding their burial, regarding all the laws of a dead person. We don't hold anything back. No, their money, their finances go to the king. But they're buried in the burial of their fathers. They're considered as regular Jews. Now, but all those are executed by the courts because of a crime, of a sin that they committed. Then we don't mourn over them, so that disgrace should be an atonement for them. But there is, we do practice aninus, where she'en aninus abalev, because aninus is only in one's heart, it's emotions. And that's not a dignity for the one who's executed, and therefore that's not going to hold back his atonement. And therefore that is an obligation for one's relative. But they're not buried with their fathers in the burial plots that they have, because you don't bury a wicked person, they're a righteous person, until the flesh gets decomposed, where then that's already considered an atonement of their, by when the body's already deteriorated, then you could gather the bones and bury them by their parents' plots. And their money goes to the inheritors as regular. Now, whoever separates from the path of the public, these are the men that remove the yoke of the mitzvahs from their neck. So they're not including the Jewish people by season mitzvah with performing mitzvahs and honoring the Yom Tevim. And neither do they sit in the shuls and their study halls. They consider like independent free people for themselves. Kushar umas like all other nations of the world. And so too the heretics and the rebellious ones and those that are the informers. All these people, when they die, we don't mourn over them. Rather, their brothers and all the other relatives, they don white clothing, they cloak themselves with white. They eat, they drink, and they rejoice. Because the enemies of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have perished. And then the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Halum esanecha Hashem esna." Says David Melech, "Behold, those who hate you, Hashem, I hate them." And therefore, it's not a sad time; it's a joyous moment. Now, Hamavid Atzma Ladas. If someone commits suicide, if someone causes himself to be lost willingly, we don't engage with him in his death for anything. We don't mourn over him. We don't eulogize him. But we do stand in the row, which is when they come back from the burial, they stand in the row. They make on him the blessing of the mourners. And anything that's an honor for the living, which there's certain parts of the burial process that's for the living, that's for the dead, whatever's done for the living. Because they don't lose out, because but it's just that for him, he loses out because of what he's done. Now, what's qualified as someone who consciously has created the loss of his own life? It's not just that he went up to the roof and he like fell, so to speak, or threw himself to his death and he died. No, it has to be he said, he said, "I'm going up to the top of the roof." And they see him go up right away in a path of anger. He's in a lot of pain. And he jumps to his death and he dies. That's a person that the presumption is that he committed suicide. But if you just see him, you find him strangulated, hanging from a tree. You see him killed, just deposited on top of his sword. Then he has the presumption of all regular people who died, not that he committed suicide, at least not in the context of what's called deliberately trying to cause the loss of his life. And you engage with him in his death. You don't hold anything back from his burial.